This is a Wild Game Production podcast.
You remember.
Roll your stealth roll?
Game books, pencils, pizza, cheese puffs, and a hell of a lot of dice.
And the dragon woke up.
Roll for initiative.
This is the Roll for Initiative podcast, where 1E is the place to be.
Welcome, everyone, to the Roll for Initiative podcast, volume 9, issue 215. I'm DM Matt, along with DM Nick.
Hi, everybody.
And no DM Vince this week.
What'd you do with Vince?
I heard that he was going... took that vacation last week, and I think he might have went to an amusement park and did some roller coasters. So,
oh, that new D&D ride.
Yeah. So maybe he'll be turning up soon.
Who knows? I heard it's weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Speaking of such,
we are up to episode 15 from season 2 of the D&D cartoon.
Yes, we are.
Yes, this is going back to September 15th, 1984 for this one. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. Yes, this episode is entitled The Treasure of Tartos. Yes, it starts off. It has a nice little frolicking scene where Uni and Bobby are playing in water. Bobby giving Uni a bath.
Yeah,
but just a nice little water.
Stinky unicorn.
Yeah, stinky unicorn. And then all of a sudden, Eric is like, I want to get on this too, and starts taking off his armor.
I know.
And it's like, what? And as soon as he starts getting his armor off, up from the water comes a giant old sea monster.
It's not a dragon turtle. It'd just be some sort of like.
Really? I don't know. It looks like the artist sketches of the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Nessie. So Nessie appears.
It's Nessie.
Nessie. Nessie appears.
No D&D stats on this one.
No, Nessie's too iconic. You can't stat it. It's like trying to stat Cthulhu. You can't stat Nessie. Yeah. You can't stat Cthulhu.
Well, okay.
Well, you can try. Well, you can, but your feeble human brain can't fully grasp the Cthulhu or the Nessie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. But when the sea monster comes up, though, it doesn't do.
The lake.
Yeah. It doesn't do what every other monster in the cartoon does in like attacking or the
right.
Albeit the kids, they do start readying weapons like, oh, we're going to fight. And then it just goes off.
There's like this roar in the distance that sea monster turns its head and it's like it just starts taking off.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want any piece of that.
Right. So at that point, of course, now the DM appears.
It's like, Eric backs up, and then, like, all of a sudden, DM shows up.
Yeah. And then he says, danger ahead. And if this world is destroyed, you can never get home. Okay. Nice and cryptic.
No, typical ominous cryptic stuff coming from DM, old buddy.
Yep. But at least this time, he does say that he tells them to go to Tartos and actually gives them a map.
Yeah. A real map.
Right. So
not a lamey map.
Right. And then he warns them of the Demo Dragon and says, defeating the one that stands against you is what they will need to do to defeat the Demo Dragon. Okie dokie.
Yep. More cryptic stuff from DM.
More cryptic stuff.
And then he disappears.
Of course. But at least with a name like Demo Dragon, you can kind of figure out half demon, half dragon. So, and he gave him a map. That's more than what he usually does. Normally, it's just
and it has words on it, like, "Oh, this is this. This is this."
Right. It actually names off places, and it's like, "Wow, the DM actually did some prep for once."
Yeah, they have to go through these dust lands, and then they get to Tartos Keep.
Right. Yes, because Tartos Keep lies beyond that dust land. So they start walking, and they see what, according to the map, should be a forest, but it's all, but it's the forest is all burnt and like charred, but the river that runs through it is frozen.
Yeah, it's completely frozen over.
Yeah. So,
so whatever went through this forest destroyed everything.
Yes.
Burnt it down and froze the lake, froze the river.
Yes. So, so came the Song of Ice and Fire, apparently. I mean,
apparently so.
Yeah. But little did you know, this is, they're actually going to Westeros.
Ah, nice.
And then the kids, they start getting through the dustland and they come across, like, there's a lot of soldiers, like orcs and monsters that they're all gathered around. And the kids are trying
They finally get the Tardos Keep, and you see it's surrounded by basically Avengers soldiers of orcs. They got catapults, and they're basically laying siege to the Tardos Keep.
Yeah, yeah. And the kids, they're like, okay, we're going to try to sneak in, but with because of all the dust, Uni sneezes.
Uni screws everything up.
Yeah.
So
for once, it was Uni, not Presto.
Yeah.
So, but. The kids, they manage to run up the steps anyway. Once their position is given, they can outrun this entire army and actually run through them.
Yeah, because they're orcs.
Yeah. And as they're running up the steps, Presto pulls his hat out, and he actually does something that qualifies as useful. He pulled out.
Where's my count? My Presto doing useful things count. Ah, there it is. Yep. There it is. Sorry. Yep. Sorry, everybody. Looking for it.
Yes, because Presto, you see, he pulled out a bunch of marbles and dropped them on the steps. And all the orcs, they failed their dex checks and proceeded to tumble down the stairs.
And Presto says, who says that losing marbles is bad?
Yes, he does get his bad pun in as usual as well.
So we are up to 25 things that Presto have done that are useful when using that magical hat.
So he's like at 1.5 per episode.
Roughly.
Right around that. Yeah. And then Hank, he channels Wonder Woman with his bow and manages
apparently.
Yeah, he lassos them. He shoots his bow, and it loops around him a few times and makes a nice glowing lasso.
Oh. And then Venger shows up.
Yes. Right. Venger shows up, starts blasting the keep, but the kids get inside because...
Yep, they open up the doors and they're able to finally get past Venger and his troops.
Right. And then this is where they meet the queen of the keep, Queen Solarnia.
Yep.
Yep. Once inside, she reveals that Venger wants the treasure of Tardos. Okay. Well, if they couldn't figure it out by the episode name, now they know for sure.
Yeah, and then they could have read the script.
Yes, and she proceeds to then ask them, why are you here? And has her guards start coming in, because at this point,
all of her guards are there with their spear-type weapons and say, why are you really here?
Right. Then Eric chimes up, the Dungeon Master sent us. And then the queen was like, oh, what do you have to say?
Dungeon Master? Oh.
He's a good fellow. He's a friend of ours.
He's like, cool.
Yeah, then Venger outside starts demanding the treasure and starts zapping the keep. Then it's not doing anything to it. Just boom, boom. And the queen was like, the walls are reinforced with years of magic and stone. Okay, I get the magic, but how do years of stone help?
Well, they had to add more. He kept on blasting it.
Yeah.
Okay. She said it'll last 1,000 years more or something to that effect.
Yes. So... as the walls of the keep withstand Venger's onslaught, he just, at that point, just says, starts to leave and falls back. And then that's when you get the big reveal. You have the orcs. They're pulling this cart. They're struggling. And then we get the nice pan up, because on the cart is the Demo Dragon.
And it looks pretty darn nasty.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you, wasn't there... a toy of the Demo Dragon 2 along with Tiamat? I know there was a Tiamat one. I think there was a Demo Dragon one too.
I think there was.
Because it looked really familiar. Yeah. I like how, though, where Venger makes like this magical version of the change holding the demo dragon. He breaks him like the break the bonds of the demo dragon, and this thing goes berserk.
Yeah. Yes, because the demo dragon is a big two-headed dragon with like Cthulhu-like tentacles coming out of its side, and for some reason has cloven hooves for instead of feet.
Because it's a demon dragon, basically.
Yes.
One head is basically a white dragon, I guess. Well, one head is blue that breathes ice, and the other one is red that breathes fire.
Yeah. So, and hence how the forest from earlier was both burnt and frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at this point, it starts attacking the door. It heats it up, and then it freezes, and then freezes the door with the fire and ice. And all of a sudden, all the magic and years of stone start to crack.
Well, it's the, like when I think Hank says that all the constant heating and cooling is making it brittle. Which is true.
Yes.
You do a little bit of science in the show.
Right, yes. The expansion and the contraction are actually weakening the magic stone.
Yep.
So at that point, as the walls crack and there's an opening, Hank shoots through and tries his lasso trick again.
On the demon dragon.
On the demon dragon. Gets the demon dragon's legs. Then he tries to shoot Venger, who just catches the bolt. And then, then demon dragon's like, I'm not getting caught the same way those orcs were, and breaks through and then proceeds to start grabbing the kid's magic items with its tentacles. Yeah. So at that point, it's got all their magic items. They're like, we got nothing going on now. What do we do?
And then commercial.
Right.
It's where I get my next bowl of cereal.
Yes. We got one.
My 13-year-old self.
Yes. Your 13-year-old self. Eating yourself some cereal. What would be your cereal of choice for this episode?
Oh, geez. Cereal choice for this episode. God, that's hard to say. It's a weird episode. It'd have to be a weird cereal.
Yeah. This would be like one of those maybe like seasonal, like where you got the clearance, like blueberry, frankenberry.
That's what I was thinking. You know, like one of the monster cereals.
But you would mix them together, so it'd be like the frankenberry and the blueberry mixed together or something like that?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so that way you have your blueberry, your blue, and then you have your, the blueberry's red, frankenberry's blue, and then you...
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, the other way around. Wow, I need to eat more.
Blueberry.
Blueberry. Is,
yes.
Yes.
For the longest time when I was a kid... The blueberry cereal, you couldn't find it. It was either Frankenberry or Count Chocula.
Right. It was like...
There was like no blueberry. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And then they brought it back.
Right. Right. And so, and now we can rejoice when all of our monster cereal.
Yay. So, when they're available during Halloween. Exactly.
So as we're going through our bowl of cereal, we cut back from commercial. And then Venger's looking at his demo... dragon and demanding the magic items, and demo dragon's like, oh no, I'm not going to give those to you, and starts
not going to do it. No,
because he, and then starts breathing on the orc army, blasting with fire and ice and basically attacking everything,
including Venger.
Yes. So
which Venger is not pleased.
No, he lost control. Yeah.
He gets a little singed.
He lost control of his magic super weapon. And then the queen reveals, oh, your magic items broke Venger's spell. Okay, so just holding some magic items.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Broke the spell of binding on the demo dragon.
Yep. Then Venger starts becoming all disapproving parent and is like, I created you and you cannot defy me.
Apparently he's from Texas. Yeah. I create you and Junior.
Yeah. He starts.
There's no way you are the fruit of my loins.
No, starts turning into an old timey prospector.
He starts turning into Buford D. Justice.
Yes. Well, he needs a big stick to fight this demo dragon.
He's gonna run away. He's like, I'm gonna get myself a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper.
So then we get the villain-on-villain action for the episode when Venger and Demo Dragon do battle.
And for a few seconds, at least. For a few seconds,
because we got to go back to the keep at this point. And then, because Eric's like, I'm hungry, feed me. And the so the queen starts walking with the group, and at this time, Sheila actually finally asks, so what's the treasure?
What's this treasure, Tardos? Yes.
Right. It's the whole reason we're here. And then it's revealed that the treasure is the only crop of a rare herb that can render the mightiest dragon helpless.
Dragonbane.
Yeah. So basically, they have a garden. And they
a whole bunch of wacky weed.
Yes. Yeah. Then the kids are like, what would Venger want with that? And then it's like, oh, it's because he wants to use it on Tiamat. Because it's the one thing he fears.
Yep, Tiamat.
Yep, back to Tiamat, who doesn't make an appearance during this episode.
Funny thing is, they just legalized Dragon's Bane recently in the realm, so you can legally take it now.
Right, but no,
for medicinal purposes only, though.
Well, Tardos is actually a dispensary. It's a licensed dispensary. So
got it. So they got the licenses and everything. They've been checked out.
Yeah, and then Presto's like, why don't we use that on the Demo Dragon? And the queen is Yeah, and we're like, well, the queen's like, you can't do that because then Venger could get it if it leaves the keep. But you have this rampaging monster out there who will destroy the world.
And we keep, pretty much.
Wouldn't you rather just kind of get rid of Tiamat than have the world-destroying monster? Just saying.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And then Presto's like, why risk all of her people? And then the queen... like tears start rolling down her face. And she was like, I sent my people to a faraway land. They are safe. They're not stuck in this keep. No.
Yeah.
It's just a small group of guards remain to guard this dragon bane.
Yep. They're like volunteers to stay behind.
Right. And if the gates fall, they will destroy it. Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
But then there's some other questions I have here with this plan. Mm.
So pause.
Yes. If you don't want it to ever leave, why not just destroy it?
Or just take it with you.
Yeah. Well, I could see, it'll die and you can't keep growing it everywhere. Maybe it's a safe place to keep it if you really don't want Venger to get it. But if your backup plan is destroy it, but you won't let
why not just destroy it?
Right. And you won't let anyone else use it on any other dragon. What does it matter? If it doesn't exist.
Right.
So.
Plot hole? That's my answer.
Yeah. Well, yes. Queen acting appropriately stupid to further the plot is what I think.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. And then, so now we get the nice little trio of Eric, Uni, and Bobby wandering the garden. And they meet a gardener.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. They're in the garden. And they meet a gardener. And the gardener puts her.
No.
Yeah.
A gardener. Who would have thought?
I know. And then the gardener's like, here, take this as a gift for complimenting me on how nice my garden is. And puts a wreath on Uni.
Yeah. It's like he says it'll bring him good luck.
Right. And then the kids leave. And then it cuts to a reflection in the pool. And the gardener is actually the dungeon master.
Oh, how clever.
Yeah,
didn't see that one coming.
Nope. So at this point, the guards start preparing for another wave from Avengers troops attacking. And then Sheila says they need to get their weapons back. Yeah, you kind of do.
Hold on a second there. It's like when the guard hands the queen a note.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like... and she's reading the note, and I'm assuming it's like, Venger's regrouping his orts, he's going to break through. It's like, that's what the message probably said. So why say it if it's on the... why just not just say it?
Right. No. We have to write it. It's from our...
yeah, write it down, and then she crumbles up the scroll.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the point of that?
Yeah.
Here's my very detailed synopsis of the situation that's going on outside the keep. But basically, in a nutshell, your holiness, your majesty, and your majesticness, Venger is going to regroup his troops and they're going to break through.
Right.
Crumble.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had a scribe on hand that needed something to do, because in a siege, how much scribing is there really to do?
Well, unless you scribe a lot of screams and moans and
things of that nature. And things, yeah.
Og! Yep. Who would scribe Og?
Well, this scribe probably would. But yeah, so, but at this point, Sheila's like, we need to get our weapons back. Yeah, you guys do. Because, you like, know,
sure.
Yeah. And then that's when Diana brings up the DM's advice and is like, the dungeon master said we need to get the one that help get aid from the one that opposes us. So we need to team up with Venger.
Stupid idea.
Right. So now we cut back to the Demo Dragon, who's flaming a desert. So I guess doing some glass blowing, perhaps. But yeah, So and then Venger says the Demo Dragon is stronger than he thought and will destroy the realms unless stopped. And then the kids show up, is like, hey, let's work together and we can stop him.
And this is where Venger's like, why would I team up with you?
Right. He was like, without your weapons, you are nothing.
Exactly.
Right. And
I'm like, Venger's right. Why does he need you?
Right. And then, but then Bobby chimes up. You've taken our weapons before and we still defeated you. Well, technically he's like, you've taken our weapons before and we still whipped you.
We still whipped you.
We whipped you. And then Venger's like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like, oh.
Ranger, approach me.
Yes, approach. And then Venger sticks out his hand. And then Venger gives him a nice talisman and tells to aim the
talisman. It's like a giant freaking golden frisbee thingy.
It's a giant dinner plate. It's really,
yeah, pretty much.
It was like, claimed it
looked like one of those commemorative plates that you would buy on television.
Yeah, it was probably from the Franklin Mint, is what I'm guessing.
There you go.
Yep. So at that point, Avenger sends the Shadow Demon to the orcs to assist when the kids walk off with the talisman. And he has the nice little huh into his voice. And so Hank goes and uses the talisman, and it all lights up like the Matrix from Transformers the movie, except not as effective. For all it does is...
Like, shoots a beam of light right in the Demo Dragon's chest, and that's it.
Yeah, nothing else happens. Hank then drops it, and it cracks when he's running away. Yep. And then Hank tells the group, duck and cover your eyes! And
Oh, wait a minute. He finds out when he drops it... Part of it just like it flashes when it breaks.
Right.
Because the magic, I guess.
Yes. He's like, oh, so it got a little flash when he broke it. So he tells everyone else to cover their eyes, and he takes the entire talisman and smashing it, and it makes a giant blinding light that blinds Demo Dragon. And then Tank then tells the group to charge and get the weapons while the Demo Dragon's blinded.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No one's going to get hurt.
Nope. Not at all. And let's just say Demo Dragon, even blinded, makes its grapple check and grabs Eric and Uni.
This is a big bad monster.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you see, Demo Dragon made the mistake. It touched Uni's wreath.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Yep. And because once it touches it, the grease starts glow. Demo Dragon starts glowing, drops everything, and just goes poof, gone.
Turns into like a bunch of dust and stuff. And
yeah, it just basically disintegrated.
It's pretty nasty.
Then that's when they figure out the wreath was Dragon's Bane.
Dragon's Bane. Ooh. Yeah.
Yep. Then the Shadow Demon and Orc show up and demand them, drop your weapons! And charge. But then Venger steps in and is like, no. Nope. They destroyed the Demo Dragon, and they are even now. But you get no favors in the future, and then they proceed to go off.
No tap backs, though.
Yep, and at this point, the DM shows up with a sad face and crying because the kids are talking about how Venger might be an okay guy, and Eric's like, no, he's evil to the core. Mm-hmm. But DM has a sad face. It says, good was in Venger, and everyone makes mistakes. Venger was mine. Dun, dun, dun.
Dum, dum, dum.
End show.
And done.
Yes, that was a fun little episode there.
Yeah, I like this episode now. Yeah, particularly just because of the Demo Dragon. I thought the Demo Dragon was cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you could even see how this could be easily turned into an adventure where your party has to go to a keep and hold it up and defend it against a siege from like a Demo Dragon or equivalent giant big bad monster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then,
and okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
and then you said you actually found stats for the Demo Dragon online.
Yeah, I did. I found them online that there was like a fan made on D&D Beyond. Someone did fifth edition stats for the Demo Dragon. So, I put a link to it, but you can easily find it on the internet. So you could, and then if you want to easily modify it to first edition, you could really, it's easy to do.
Yeah. You could pretty much almost just transfer it as is and it would work. I mean, it's,
yeah, I think it would work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because, yeah, it's just a really cool monster. And when your players come across that for the first time, they'll be like, what sort of a monstrosity is this?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not quite your two-headed dragon. Why does it have Cthulian tentacles and hooves?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely give this episode a thumbs up. It was fun, and it also furthers the plot with you get the Venger Dungeon Master backstory.
Yeah, just a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, you get a little tease of it. Where did Venger come from?
And then you get the whole, how did he turn evil?
Right. And yes, you come to realize he wasn't always the mustache twirling villain. He actually was good at one point. So with that, give us your thoughts on this episode here, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, right?
Yeah, and don't forget, watch the cartoon with our commentary on it. It makes a very good companion piece watching the episode.
Yes, it does. So, yes, write us at rfistaff@gmail.com. And we also have our Twitters. You can go ahead and give DM Vince a follow at the Evil DM on Twitter.
Twitter?
Twitter, yes.
The Twitter.
Yes.
I don't Twitter.
Yeah. I kind of do. Mostly it's wrestling, not much gaming. But yeah, I'm more of a lurker than a tweeter. So anyways, and with that, we will wrap the show up and keep it original, keep it old school, and good night, everyone.
Bye, buddy.
Roll for initiative.